last night, got it all tuned in. But the gremlins will do whatever they can to disrupt stuff, so we'll try to work on that just a little bit in between services and see if we can get some a little bit of sound from Gene's mic. Appreciate it, guys. He was straining a little, seeing him. The guys were poking him. By the way, that's I love that song, too, because that's our hope, that we're going to rise again. Because guess what? None of us are getting out of this phase of life with this body. We're going to get a new one. All right. I'll try not to keep you too long, but you never can tell. First of all, it's hot up here, okay? And one other announcement before we get, we've announced this before, but I forgot it this morning. Revival at Cedar Glades, that's at 303 Gum Springs Road, Mountain Pine. That is August 22nd, or the 19th through the 22nd. Brother Scotty McDowell, you're invited to come to that. Okay. I really do enjoy homecoming services. And it brings back a lot of memories. I love to eat. Look at me. You can tell that. I love to eat, and I love to talk, and I love to tell and hear stories about the past, the present, and the future. We get the future. We like to talk about those because that end lies our hope in the future stories. Okay? Now, I'm prematurely gray. I'm really young. So when I say this, y'all, darn it, wasn't that funny. So when I say this, kind of temper it like that. Now, I didn't see this, but I remember hearing stories from Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa. They all told about it, that people actually used to ride in wagons or walk to church. Anybody here remember those days? Amen. They rode to church in wagons or walked. And, you know, you think about that for just a second. Now, I rode here in a nice climate-controlled vehicle. It took me about 30 minutes to get here from where I live. If I'd have had to make that trek in a wagon, I'd have probably had to come last night and put a tent up. But they came. Did they not? They came. Now, anymore. But in our history, our forefathers, the ones that built these churches that we enjoy, they came even when it was not easy because they loved the Lord. They loved the Lord. They brought food. They ate out under the trees. Do y'all remember those days? I can remember back whenever homecoming, whenever it was time for homecoming, people would say, y'all bring something to eat, we're going to have dinner on the ground. That's really what they meant. I never really ate on the ground, but I remember pallets out under the trees, and the church where I grew up had some very nice concrete picnic tables. They're still there, by the way. Didn't have a fellowship hall. Those were the good old days, right? But people came. And they worship God. Now, I'll tell you what they did have that's missing in a lot of churches today. And it's very obvious if you open your eyes, if you look, and if you read and study God's Word. They had the fortitude to preach God's Word not watered down and without apology. Because let me tell you what, folks. God's Word is God's Word, and it doesn't really matter if we like it or not. And they had that fortitude, and that's that we have the pleasure of coming to today. Now, they raised their families, and they taught them how to worship and honor and serve God. They built these churches. Oak Hill's been here 115 years, and if you'll read the little deal in the announcement, you'll see a brief history there. In 1903, this church was started here on this hill. And see, back a few years ago, we had a couple of oak trees die. We had to have cut down. And if we keep going, we're not going to have any oak trees left. I don't know what we'll call ourselves then. Hopefully, it'll just be God's church, right? But Oak Hill was started 115 years ago here. And they continued preaching and teaching Jesus. Now, let's look back on our past and remember the good old days for just a second before we get going. You remember, you know, the good old days? Outhouses. Y'all know what those are? Yeah. No running water. Remember the good old days? Hand-dug wells. Anybody ever draw water up out of a hand-dug well? Hey, I'll tell you what. That was some of the best water you'll ever taste in one of those old wells that you had to draw it up. Do you remember Grandma washing clothes in an iron pot? Boy, we were uptown down at Grandma Alt. She had a Ringer washing machine with a Briggs & Stratton engine on it because there was no power. The good old days. Had to draw that water up, had to heat it in the pot, and then, boy, that'd beating it on us. Bored, right? Baptizing in the creek. How many of y'all were baptized in the creek? Amen. Personally, was baptized in Colorado, and if you went down in the creek, you froze to death before you got out. We were uptown back then. That's been a long time ago. We had a baptistry. But I love creek baptisms. And I got to go to several of those in my lifetime. Now, our old church, we did a lot of work to our baptistry. We cleared the grass off the banks, and we actually built steps going down. You know what was good about those old days? Jesus Christ was still in charge. And he still is. Remember the old wood stoves in the sanctuaries? Now, I didn't see this, but I remember at Old Marble, they told about them. There was one old pot-bellied stove in the middle. And in the wintertime, everybody would gather around that thing, try to keep from freezing to death. That family, right? When you get close and personal. But they came. You remember no air conditioning? You know, we can't even open our windows. I remember many times going to church when we had the windows open. And people would try to get there early so that they could get a window seat, so if there was any breeze, they could get a little bit of it. Good old days. If we get too hot, y'all tell us we can turn the air down a little bit, make you comfortable. I can remember the first time I ever sat on a padded pew. That hadn't been that long ago. We got it made, don't we? The good old days. Let's look back on the good old days with fond memories, but let us also look to the future as we reminisce today. Because I know that the future is bright for Christians. And it goes back to the song that Gene just sang, that Eddie Joe loves, that I love myself, by the way. You can't keep us down. We're going to rise again. The future is in the risen Savior. And because of what he done, we can enjoy that as well. What we're doing here today is reminiscing about old times, but also celebrating Jesus Christ, because he promised to come again. You know, in the old days, they preached about heaven and hell. I preached a sermon here time back. I preach about hell. Anybody else preach about hell in your churches? If they don't, shame on them. Because if heaven's real, so is hell. I preached a sermon about hell, and there was a young lady in our congregation that her father was a preacher also, and she came up to me after the service, and she said, "You're the only preacher besides my dad I've ever heard preach a sermon about hell. Shame on us." They preached about heaven and hell. Heaven! Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Listen, people don't want to talk about hell. No, you ain't going to heaven, you're going to hell. That's why Jesus died. They preached about that. We still do that here at Oak Hill. Praise the Lord. They taught about the blood of Christ. Now, Gene knows my favorite song that I get him to sing sometimes is the blood. It's all about the blood, folks. People don't want to hear about the blood. Oh, that's so, you know, that's kind of gore. Without the blood, we have no hope. No blood, no salvation. We preach about the blood of Christ here. We still do that. They preached about reward and punishment. God said that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is reward. And guess what? Where there is reward, there is also punishment for those who don't follow God. We still preach about that here. Thank the Lord. They call sin a sin. Has sin changed? Absolutely not. Sin is missing the mark. The mark is set by God. They call sin, sin. We still do that here. Many churches, many preachers are so worried about the numbers on the board back there that they're willing to compromise the hard preaching stuff that comes right straight out of the Bible so people won't feel uncomfortable and not come back. Listen to me. I want you to hear this really, really plain, okay? I'm going to try not to stutter. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to be uncomfortable. Because you need to realize that without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of a brighter tomorrow. I want you to know about the truth about Jesus, God's only begotten Son, that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. We preach about that here. I want you to know that the Bible tells us in Romans that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. I know y'all all better than me, but none of you as good as Jesus. We're all sinners, okay? I want you to know that the Bible tells us in Romans that we have all sinned, and also we're told in the Word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise that is. Okay? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, I want you to know this. God is still in the business of calling men unto. I want you to be uncomfortable a little bit if you don't know Jesus. The purpose of the calling is to draw men out of their sinful state and show them that there's hope in Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us that we must be born again. It goes back to the song, 1 Corinthians 15 says, for this corruptible, that's this old body, must put on incorruption. This old sinful body got to be changed. And this mortal must put on immortality. We here at Oak Hill preach the same word of God that's been preached since Jesus was here, and we got the completed word of God. Amen? Amen. Mama always used to ask me, what are you going to preach Sunday? Preach about Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. Because without him, we have no hope. We here at Oak Hill tell it just like it is. Jesus saves. And only Jesus saves. If you're here this morning and are a child of the King and are not living according to the commandments, I want you to be uncomfortable as well. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I'm stepping on some people's toes. Okay, good. Good, listen. If you're living in a sinful state, the Spirit of God will lead you out of that if you'll just listen to him. If you're never uncomfortable, you will never see the need for change. You get it? It's all good, right? No. The Bible tells us that we should take up our cross daily and follow him. That means that today I should try to do better. I should purpose in my heart to be a better follower of Christ than I was yesterday. Sinner friend, there are only two kinds of people in this world. I want you to hear this, okay? They're saved sinners and lost sinners. We're all sinners, okay? So which are you? Are you a born-again sinner or are you a lost sinner? Now, if you're lost, Jesus tells us in John 14:6, arguably my favorite scripture in the Bible, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, We hear all kinds of stuff. Anybody got a television? Radio? Huh? How many? Right? We have to occupy ourselves with noise, right? I want you to know something. Satan uses that thing to confuse us into thinking that there's many here. You know why? Because political correctness really is the dumbing down of people and the numbing of the mind to the point where they don't understand that there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not anyone else or anything else. It's all about Jesus. So what about you, saved person? If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you are saved from the fiery depths of hell prepared for Satan and his angel, but are you ready? Are you ready? Gene said, and I agree, that he believes that this generation could be the one that's translated and Jesus could come back in our lifetime. Do y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. I heard a bunch of amens. I believe it. You know why? Because the Bible supports that belief and that thought. Because if you read God's word, he tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. When the Son of Man comes back, go back and read the scripture. Jesus could come back, I believe, anytime. So say, friend, are you ready? Well, preacher, you just answered that question. You said, if I'm saved, I'm ready, right? Well, are you really? If you knew Jesus was coming back tonight and you had about 30 minutes to get ready, what would you do? Get rid of them old dirty movies you got in your cabinet? Go home, pour the alcohol down the sink? Well, think about it, friend. What would you do? Jesus was coming back tonight. You're a child of the King, right? Act like it. Maybe you'd run out and tell your mom or your dad or your brother or sister about Jesus. Because you don't want them to go to hell either, do you? Why haven't you done that? And if you have and they have not accepted and they haven't and they've pushed away, don't stop. Their eternal destiny is at stake. Or maybe you'd rush out and tell your best friend. You're a born-again believer. Your best friend, does he know you come to church? Or are you hiding it from him? Maybe even your spouse. They need Jesus. If you're a born-again believer, you may be the only opportunity they have. Why haven't you done that yet? Are you living? Listen to me, friend. I think of the Apostle Paul when I was getting ready for this sermon this morning. I think about him. And do you remember the stories of what he did? He killed Christians. He had them murdered, thrown in prison, beaten. He was such a bad person that when he got converted, the other Christians of the time didn't want anything to do with him because they were afraid of him. But you see, God changed him. Made him different. You see, when Jesus moves in, when the Holy Spirit comes in, when we accept him as our personal Savior, we are changed. But not all of our habits are. That takes time and work. Would you have to clean up your life before they would take you seriously? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Jesus could come back tonight. Right now, before in the morning. Why haven't you done it already? Why haven't you? Jesus, God, is faithful to forgive us when we will humble ourselves and repent. Listen, the past is the past. We can only go forward from here. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today could be the best day of your life if you will accept him as your personal Savior. Today, you can start your trek toward eternity in heaven. Humble yourself before God and obey His commandments today. Jesus saves completely. Tomorrow might be too late. Listen, if this church is still here in 115 years, or when Jesus comes back, that's up to us, friend. It is. We're only one generation away from apostasy. If we let our guard down, if we quit teaching the truth from God's Word, it could affect generations. It could affect your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Stand firm. Preach the truth. Teach the truth. Support a local Bible teaching church. It's up to you to see that our children and grandchildren know the truth, not watered down. I do believe that the next big event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Yes, I know that that word's not in the scripture, okay, but the teaching is, okay? So listen to me. Born again believers are going to be taken out. They're going to be taken out, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to read this real quickly. You've heard this. It's used at a lot of funeral services, but it applies to us today. It applies to everyone today. Listen to me, friend. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that are dead, passed on, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope? Amen. Through Jesus. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Listen. If I fall over dead right now, praise God, I'm going to go be with Jesus Christ. And I'm coming again. And you know how I know that? Because my Savior lives. He's risen. He hung on the cross and He gave His life on that cross. And they put Him in the ground, but they couldn't keep Him there. I serve a risen Savior. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to keep them from coming. Listen to me, friend. First time I spoke in public was at my daddy's funeral. My daddy and I were very close. I want you to know this. That was easy. You know why? Because my daddy went to heaven. You know what? One of these days, his grave's going to burst open. He's going to be called. I'm going to be right behind him if I'm still alive. If not, I'm going to come out at the same time. Listen, we're not going to keep them that are asleep from going to be with the Lord. Listen to verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen to me, friend. We've had a lot of deaths in our church family and extended family in the last week. I think I said this last week, but do you know 100%? None of us are getting out of here with this body. But guess what? We have hope. We have the promise of God that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we're going to be risen again. We're going to be given a glorified, sinless body, one that don't have this old scratchy voice and all the stuff that goes along with it. Glorified body. Amen? Don't be ignorant, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming back. I heard a fellow the other day that told me, said he heard a preacher say that all that stuff in Revelation really is just figurative. It's all already happened. That's not right. Listen to me. That is Satan talking. And if your preacher's preaching that, you need to tell him. Otherwise, Jesus is coming back. There is a tribulation period. There is a thousand year rule and reign of Christ. There is an eternal place. It's coming. Listen to me. The Bible tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Everyone, lost or saved, is going to be judged by Christ. Not at the same time. It's a different deal. The judgment seat of Christ is for those who are covered by the blood, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ. The great white throne is the judgment of those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Two totally different events, two totally different outcomes. You don't want to be at the last one, friend. You want to be at the first one. Okay? We're going to stand before Him in judgment. What are we doing to prepare for that? Well, I've accepted Him. Oh, that's the first step. It's the biggest decision you will ever make. The first step in your walk with Christ. Have we taught the truth? Ask yourself that. Have we? I'm proud to say that here at Oak Hill we have, and we continue to do so. You pray for us that we can stand firm. Have we done our best to see lost souls saved? Amen. We teach about Jesus all the time. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. Remember, if Jesus comes back tomorrow, what would you do tonight to get ready? I submit to you, if there's something you need to do in your life, rededicate salvation, or maybe you've been saved but you've never really dedicated your life to Christ, now would be the time. Now would be the time to do it. Don't put it off. It might be too late. Lost friend, if you're here this morning, I thank God that you come our way. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just walk down this aisle and you and I will come right over here and kneel down and we'll talk about it. And we'll talk to Jesus. Let me introduce you to my Lord and Savior. He will set you free. Doesn't matter what you're carrying, let me pray with you. Do you have a heavy heart, burden, something you need to get rid of, something you need to get off your chest? The rest of your life starts right now. Start it right. Give your life to Jesus. I want to ask our song leader to come. I'll ask for you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Would bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, we're thankful, Lord, for this church and what she stands for. We're thankful for the opportunity to stand before it and preach Jesus Christ and His blood shed for us and Him raised from the dead. May we ever be found standing firm on that truth. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every one of us here today. I believe that the Spirit is here. I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. You tell us that we are two or three are gathered together in my name. There will I be in the midst. I believe you're here. Lord, deal with each and every one of us as you see fit. There's lost here this morning. Lord, I pray that the Spirit would convict, would draw, would show them that they need Jesus before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there's saved people here, church members here, that need to get their life right, let this be the time. Let us cast our cares at the feet of Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You want to know true freedom? It only comes through your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that His will be done in each and every life. And in His name we pray. Amen.